Hi friends, super excited to bring you a Q&A episode today. First things first though, let's just plug Battle Grappling. Myself and Mallory are both going to be competing February 11th. It's going to be streamed on flowgrappling.com. You can get your tickets at www.battlegrappling.com/shop. That's where they're selling spectator tickets. The event is in Portland, Oregon at the 10th Planet. Super excited. Love that venue. One of my favorite places to be. I'm in the 145 women's black belt bracket. There's four of us all vying for a $1,000 cash prize. Please tune in. We'd love to see you. What do now, Mallory? Well, the podcast is starting is what we do now. It's going to be our Q&A episode. And I've already started the podcast, so we are going right on in here. I'm not even going to edit that out.
Jumping in with the officer.
We're jumping in. I mean, why not?
Yeah. Okay.
How the turntables. You're welcome, Office fans. I love The Office. I'm just going to say
so
it.
So much.
I just don't care if anyone judges me for it. I'm a black belt.
I don't understand how anybody could judge you for that.
Well, some people think it's stupid.
Well, I think they're stupid.
You know, this is true.
Yeah. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah. That's what I have to say, too.
I don't understand how they don't like The Office.
Okay, so I would love to chit-chat more about The Office, but we got so many questions. I am very excited about the amount of questions we got from all of our listeners. We actually are getting a lot.
And I love that we have listeners.
We have listeners.
I love that.
They listen to us and the things that we have to say, and I'm really happy about it because I like the feedback that we're getting.
Nice.
I hear, like, people really felt that the last episode that we talked about grief really resonated. And I heard from a lot of people that it was helpful for them because you're not the only one, right?
I love that.
That's
great.
I love
it too. I'm so glad that it went over well. So
I feel like what was really like capped the whole thing for me was that like feeling of getting to know your family on like a deep level.
And the best.
It was fantastic when you sent me all those photos and I was looking at them. I was just like, what a love story.
I know.
Yeah. What a love story. And I thought that was gorgeous. So, right. So I said I wasn't going to talk. I'm famous. I am not going to talk too much. So we're going to get right into it. Our first person that asked us questions is Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
What
Josh
up?
Is from my hometown. He graduated from the same high school as me, and he trains jiu-jitsu at the gym that I train at when I go visit home.
Which is?
MK Martial Arts.
And
where
who?
Is that at?
Yeah. It's in Marcy, New York. Is it in Marcy address? It's in Marcy area.
And who runs that?
Michael Karam, and he is awesome. He's so nice. Their Instagram is MK_martial arts, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, cool. I'll check it out.
They're awesome there, so big fan. 10 out of 10.
Nice.
Love it.
So it sounds like Josh is getting ready for his first competition in July, right?
Yes, yes. I'm so excited.
Grappling
for
Industries?
Him. Yes. And I think he's doing no gi. I'm not sure.
Okay. That's exciting.
For a while, he did not like training gi because he would say that it felt like he was training in a wet blanket.
Well,
and
it's
then
pretty accurate.
He's finally getting more into the gi, so that makes me happy. I'm very excited about
nice.
That.
He didn't specify if he was going to do both. I don't know if you know
if he's
going to do both
I'm
not
sure. I would assume no gi just because I think he likes that better.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Either way, it doesn't change the question. So,
right.
Josh wants to know about any tips for your first competition. So I think that I'm going to take that one first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I am a coach, and because of that, I feel like this is a really good one. And then Jen and Mallory, you can step in wherever. So first things first, make sure that you know where the jiu-jitsu tournament is. Make sure you know what time it starts. Make sure you know where the venue is, where you're going to park. Make sure that you register in a division where it's like your right weight. Make sure you check that when you get it. I mean, you need to double check all of the details of the tournament and what you're doing, because you do not want to get to that tournament and it's a different you're doing something that is different than your expectation, right? So you want to make sure that you're going in and doing exactly what that rule set is. So you need to go to Grappling Industries, obviously, go look at their website and rules, read it very thoroughly, and make sure that for your division, you understand what you're doing, because it's different than IBJJF. So some gyms specifically will teach more like, oh, in IBJJF, we do X, or at this tournament, we do X, whatever it is. So just pay attention to what you're doing, what the rules are. And I also think it's really like helpful to have a friend or your buddy or your coach or somebody there to help you with all those details as well, because it's really easy to forget those things because you're really jacked for competition.
Yes.
So I feel like a list is really helpful for that. And I actually think, Jen, you had a really, really good checklist mm-hmm. for a first competition.
Yeah. I love a good checklist.
You love a checklist. So why don't you tell us about the checklist? Because I feel like that's a really good tip, is this checklist situation. After you've checked your rules, all this other stuff, let's do the checklist.
Perfect. Yeah. So for me, coming up in dance, I always had to have a whole list because it was a full team. And if one person forgot something, nobody has everything they need and you look like crap. So I think that follows really well with jiu-jitsu too. You have to have everything and your team has to be on board. So I make a list. My list is always, it includes your gi, a second gi. That's my recommendation. Mm-hmm. Try your gi on before you go. Make sure it fits well and it fits within the rules of the competition, because some you can wear different colors than others and you want to make sure that they're going to allow that. Undergarments, as far as, you know, if you're wearing extra shorts, if you're wearing a rash guard or not, you need to have all of those things with you, your tape, your wraps, your ibuprofen or whatever kind of medication that you take, extra water, snacks.
Don't forget snacks. You literally never know what's going to happen. We've had all kinds of things happen.
Mm-hmm. You get there and there's no food.
Oh yeah, sometimes there's no food. You'll get there and there's no food. Yeah.
Bring cash. Yeah. They don't accept cards everywhere.
Yes. The last one they didn't accept.
It was Grappling Industries.
Yeah, it was a Grappling Industries
tournament. Bring cash. Mm-hmm. Your coaches do not get in free unless they're black belts.
And have registered. Make sure your coach has registered too. So if you register, then you can get in. But at Grappling Industries, black belts can just like walk in basically.
Yes.
But if your coach is not a black belt, they need to have registered. You get like one free coach per. So make sure you do that as well. So that checklist is really fantastic.
Super fantastic.
What else is on that checklist?
Oh, all kinds of things. I really think looking...
You said snacks, right?
Snacks are huge. Yeah. I always make sure there's snacks.
What type of snacks?
Yeah, honey sticks, peanut butter, rice cakes are good, fruit is good, electrolytes, making sure you have something that's going to hydrate.
Gatorade.
Liquid IV, like whatever, making sure you have all of that. The list is pretty huge. I think it's literally a full notebook page of things. But you're going to make your own list too. What do you take to gym every single night? What do you need when you go to sleep at night? What do you need between class? Like, make your list, but make it early.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't wait till the day of.
Be prepared.
Pack your bag the night before.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Mallory, what do you think about for a first competition? What other things do you need to have with you or anything else?
You know, I totally went into my first competition flying by the seat of my pants, so I wish that I had listened to this podcast before my first tournament. But yeah, no, everything that you just said, and get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And try to anyway.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So those are like, the logistical pieces of being there, right? There's many different parts of first competition.
Mm-hmm.
So the other things you need to make sure that you have is a game plan. You need to know what moves you're going to do. Don't decide the day of competition you're suddenly going to do a fireman's carry and you've never done one before. Okay? It's a really complicated move. The only person I've seen somebody like throw a fantastic fireman's carry is Chuck Summers from my gym, and no one's ever going to be able to do it like Chuck. So don't even try. Okay? So here's the thing. You need to make sure that you have gone through what your game plan is. You've practiced it multiple times. Since you know you're already competing in July, you have a really long time to go and figure out what is your game plan. What are the things that you want to execute? You should start executing those things right now. And those are the only things that you could you should be focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, make that game plan and get someone that is your coach to help you do that. Don't just do it by yourself. Your coach will be able to help you. with what's best. Yes. Also on the uniform piece, I accidentally like went in with the wrong shorts. Like I had the wrong shorts and I always get prepared. Luckily, I had like four other pairs because I was so scared of what I was going to be able to wear because I had to cut weight.
Okay.
So I had to sweat everything out. So I needed extra clothes. And so I brought all of it. And that was the only reason why I made it through is because my shorts accidentally, like there was a tiny thing that was yellow. These tiny yellow dots you could hardly see, but she pointed them out. And so I would have been DQ'd. Luckily, you can buy things at some tournaments, but not every tournament. Mm-hmm. You can't count on it. And if you do get to the tournament and something is wrong, you're pretty lucky that jiu-jitsu people are cool and you might be able to find someone that will help you out.
That will share.
Don't be afraid to ask it your first competition. Like, don't be afraid. And, like, don't be afraid of the referees. They're there to help you. They're there to be, like, not your friend. I don't know.
No.
I was going to say, like, they're there to be your friend. They're there to be your guide. They're there to help you because they want you to be successful. So listen to all of their commands. Make sure you understand the commands. Make sure you understand how you're going to go on and off the mat. You need to mentally prepare as well. So you need to come up with your game plan mentally of how you're going to deal with competition. Competition day, you're going to deal with a lot of nerves. So get ahead of that now. I have a lot of books that I like to read for that. I will compile a list and put that out there. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot. I feel like I covered a pretty big ground on those pieces. Yeah. Do we feel like there's anything else we can add to that?
I think day of, things that I have not done before, is make sure you get a really good warm-up in. Get warm before you go on the mat, because I have gone in cold and it did not go as well for me as when I went in warm.
Right. So. And changing times a lot, there's a lot of dynamic timing, so in a tournament it really says like you should be there an hour prior and all this whatever, like you really do need to be there early because sometimes divisions can get pulled up by like 45 minutes. Also be prepared that you get fully warmed up and then you wait 45 minutes until you finally fight. So just be prepared on either side that those things are going to happen.
He's a competitor. He's going to do awesome.
Oh, sweet.
I'm super excited.
Go, Josh. It happens. We're all rooting for you.
Yeehaw. Awesome. So the next person that asks us a question is Bet.
Hey, Bet.
Hi, Bet.
Hi.
At Fruit Jitsu and also at Grip Games PNW. That is Bet. So Bet says, who was the most influential BJJ athletes you followed through your colored belt days? I'm going to start with Jen, because she's had more colored belt days than Mallory.
That's fair.
To be honest.
Not a lot, but...
a lot.
I'm a huge fan of Fionn Davies. I think she's absolutely incredible. All the little girls... all, if it's 125 and under, black belt, female, you name it, I've seen it. I love Elizabeth Quay. I know she's not in that weight class, but she's super flexible, very talented jiu-jitsu, and she knows how to get out of a tight spot. So I like checking that out and watching her progress. Gosh, there's a lot. Maisa Bastos, she's fantastic. Yeah, how about you, Mallory?
I follow, so I don't know anybody's names, like full disclosure, like I've never followed any fighting or anything before I started jiu-jitsu. I never watched fighting. I never didn't do it. Yeah. So like I watch a ton of videos. I couldn't tell you anybody's names. I can tell you that I really admire you guys and I really like admire like Heather Woods, who I still haven't met. So hi Heather. I hope we might meet sometime soon.
I think she'll hopefully be making an appearance in the spring.
I'm hope excited. So. Her on the pod.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I've been meaning to do it for a long time.
Yeah,
I mean, Heather Woods for me, like, I met her as a brown belt, a very scared little brown belt, and she just, like, showed me the ways and took me under her wing, and that act of kindness that she gave to me really changed my world. Like, meeting Heather Woods was a catalyst for me, and so she really influenced me in the way I play my game. As a, like, really young jiu-jitsu player, when I first was figuring out what jiu-jitsu was, and I showed up to a seminar and Amanda Lowen was there and she was a purple belt. She was teaching in the Seaside at Adamson Brothers. And I was like, this is the most incredible thing I have ever seen in my life. I can't believe this is real. She has a purple belt. She's worked so hard. And so then I followed her career all the way through until I was graced to be able to like become a little bit of her friend. Yeah. Which was like, I feel like she's the one of like a, someone I've known forever just because she's always been somebody that I always looked up to because I feel like she tells it like it is. Mm-hmm. She's very passionate about self-defense and she stands up for what she believes in. And I believe in all of those things. And she's the most yeehawest woman I know. And I love her more than anything in the world. So both her and Heather Woods really have been my influential people in my life that I've watched as women. Mm-hmm. Also, Jazari Matuta.
Oh my gosh.
Like, people don't talk about Jazari as much, but she's I loved her. Like, I remember seeing her and thinking, oh my gosh, what a fierce, fierce woman. And to be quite honest, I mean, I guess, Ronda Rousey's not a jiu-jitsu athlete, but
Judo, though.
Just in terms of thinking about, like, I know that a lot of people are very turned off by her now, but like, I don't really care because I feel like the things that she helped do for the sport were fantastic. And also before that, there's like Kat Zingano and a lot of other females like Misha Tate is like out there for a long time. And there's a lot of really famous like female fighters that I feel like for me were very influential because there weren't as many women in jiu-jitsu at the time that when I was coming up, I felt like, but I also was a little bit unaware. Mm-hmm. I wasn't watching jiu-jitsu videos and stuff like that. So I didn't have that context, but yeah, that's what I would say. I think that's a great question.
Love it. Yeah. I think so too. Yeah.
So
yeah,
thank you.
I feel like I need to
I want to hear Bet's
list. Look up
list.
Some of these people. Okay. Yeah.
Bet, that's your list.
Bet, send us your list. Make a little vid for us. I want to see your list. It would be so good. I already think that, like, Margot Ciccarelli is going to be on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already know that. I'm pretty sure. So my friend Kylie has asked us a question. So hi, Kylie.
Hey, Kylie.
Hi, Kylie.
Yay. So I used to train with Kylie a super long time ago. They're, like, someone I met and hip through, I think, with my friend Rose. And that's just how our friendship started. So this is a really good question. This is the first one. So there's a couple, which is great.
Good. Thanks, Kylie.
Yes. First one, how to set your ego aside when a lower belt has an advantage, as in like passing your guard, submits you, gets to mount. Like, how do you do that? Let's see. I guess we're going to start with Jen.
I'll go. Yeah. I don't really care. So it's like, they're going to pay for it later. Like, I'm not worried about it. Like, last night I had that pretty gnarly face smash and I tapped and I was like, brand new white belt, but who cares? Like, a tap's a tap, a pass is a pass, and you'll get it back later. Like, I just don't stress about those kind of things. It doesn't enter my mind.
Because like, the thing is, no one else is actually watching.
And nor do they care.
And they don't care.
No.
Right.
But yeah. Like, the thing is, like, you'll be in a room where there are people sometimes who will care because they think that that's something that they can judge you by. That it has some sort of value judgment. But the reality is that people pass my guard all day long. And I expect that people should be getting better. So if they do that, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's how I know my students are getting better, actually. So some people are starting to do things in the gym where I'm like, no, no, thank you. But I feel for me now as a teacher, I'm super excited about it because it means that the teaching that we're doing means that my students are getting better.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So it's hard though. And I had a really hard time with it when I was a blue belt. I struggled through it. I will say I was super hot headed about things. I would get very upset when people would submit me and all those things. And they were all ego issues. They really were. And I had to work through those. So don't think just because you maybe feel, and I'm not just like saying Kylie, but just to anyone, like if you feel your ego, that's okay. That's to be expected. I don't expect anything different. If you didn't feel your ego, that would be kind of weird. You're a little out of tune. So get in there, get in on it. How do you feel, Mallory, now that you have your brand new blue belt? How does it feel? Do you feel like anything?
You know, honestly, not really, because I feel like I've just been very humbled throughout this whole process, like my whole, you know, especially like training with you guys, and I'm going in like expecting to get my ass kicked no matter who I'm going against. Right. That's just like my mindset. So like if it happens, great. Like we're better training partners for it. Like it, does it feel good? No. Like, but am I going to let it ruin my day? Also no. So, I mean, I don't know. Where's the trash bin? The drop your ego at the door. Like that's right. That's what I try and practice every day. It's hard.
That's the one thing I think I should do this year that I've been saying. I'm gonna get a tiny trash can that's right outside the gym that says your ego. I've been meaning to do that for a long time.
For like a year now.
I should get out on that. You know, I have a lot of ideas, right?
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot of ideas in my brain, and so they all just kind of make their way out. It sounds like, though, you're remembering some of them, so if you want to just store some of those away for me for later.
I got you.
A rainy day, that'd be great.
Put it in a shared note.
Yeah. So this next question is fantastic. I love it. How to handle spazzy new people? Well, there's a couple different ways. I'm going to start with the coach way. So when I find that other people are giving me energy that I don't appreciate, and I just will tell them, hey, let's slow down a little bit. This is too much. Something like that. Build a boundary. Do those things. But like, Athlete Katie says, sometimes you have to smash the fuck out of them because there's no other way for them to learn. And I just say that because
it's true.
It's a little bit true. And it just depends on the people, okay? Like, I have to treat everybody differently because not everybody is the same. True. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Like, I treat them all the same, but I take into account, who are you as a person? What has gone on in your life? Why are you spazzing out? What's going on? Some people spaz out because they have trauma and they do things that are weird. We have people that spaz out because they have egos, all those kinds of things. If I find that I'm rolling with someone that consistently seems to be kind of spazzy, or if I see that they're spazzy, I don't roll with them. And if they come to say, hey, do you want to roll? I'll say, no, I can't because you're too spazzy. You go too fast. Or I can't, I'll just say, my favorite one is I put it on to me. I say, hey, I can't get hurt. I'd love to roll with you, but I can't get hurt. And I don't know if I can match your energy. And I'll just say it because they have to know. And it's okay. Like, it's okay to be spazzy, by the way. Okay, for everyone out there who's like mad about spazzy white belts, which we all are. We need those people, though, because, like, for me as a coach, that's literally my entire customer base is spazzy white belts, okay?
Yeah.
So I have to deal with them constantly, and there's a couple different ways. There's that. There's the very diplomatic way of talking to them, and most people get it that way. But honestly, I get a dude once in a while who comes in, never rolled with a woman before, and I get in there, and I start to hold him down, and he don't like it very much. So he gets kind of crazy, and that's when I have to put the hurt on. And then if he comes after me, then I have to put the hurt on again. And sometimes I do that, and sometimes I choose not to. Sometimes I say, hey, I can't roll with you because you're too spazzy, so I'm just not going to roll with you. And that's how it works. So that's how I do it.
Yeah.
Jen, how do you do it?
A couple ways. I always say, oh, I'm done for tonight, thanks. Or I tell them.
And then
them,
do another round with me.
And then, So if I have said to you in the gym, oh, I'm done for tonight, thanks. You're going too fucking hard and it sucks. But at the end of it, like, we've all been there too, right? So I also try to give it a little time. I will not roll with a brand new person. Ever.
I usually don't either.
I don't know them.
I wait for
know.
David.
Yeah, let the boys see first, and then they'll tell us if it's a safe person. Because I don't know what kind of vibe they're going to give either, if they're, like, weird. You
true.
Know?
Yeah.
That's usually it. But anyways, or I just tell them, like, we'll roll, but slow and steady. But if you want to get crazy, I will match your energy, and you'll just fucking handle it. Like, you're going to deal with it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's completely fair. I think explaining to someone that you'll match their energy makes a lot of sense, because then they'll realize that you've already set that expectation. Mm-hmm. So if you're starting to go buck wild and they're feeling like, oh, this is a lot, it's because they're being buck wild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And exactly. I hope they learn that. They seem to over time.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah. And I feel like people want to act in ways where they're good teammates.
Right.
And if they don't know how to do that, then we're not helping them, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the strategy that I've used a few times is I play a totally different game where I literally just try and hold my position and I let them tire themselves out. I will just hold you in my guard, or I will just stay in mount or do whatever and you'll get so tired. And then after we're done, I'll say, you just did all of, like, you just tired yourself out. Like,
so nothing was happening.
Yeah. So, and then I feel like the next time I roll with them though, like, they don't go as crazy because they're like, okay, it's not a fucking sprint. It's a marathon. Right. So, but I also just avoid eye contact sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do that too.
I think that's okay. I mean, like, we have to be, like, careful of our boundaries and, like, our bodies too. Mm-hmm. Some days my body's not up to it. I'm old, y'all.
You're old.
Jen had a birthday this
Jen
week.
Jen had a birthday
29,
this week.
29, you guys.
Again, for the 500th time.
Yeah. It's been at least...
What, the 26th anniversary of your
27th? Yeah, it's pretty close, yeah.
That's hilarious. I actually think that getting older is kind of badass, though.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm, like, into it, but, yeah, I'm getting older, and I just, my body's just not into it as much, especially, honestly, in the winter, I'm really cold, so I don't like to train as hard. Okay.
It hurts.
Kylie has other questions. Okay.
No, we have a lot of questions.
We do. Yeah. Kylie also asks, how your game may look different as a small/short person. Ooh, Jen is perfect to start that one out.
This is my world. I do two things, and I think it's probably the same thing that everybody else does. I either try to play top and stay super heavy and just work the sub, or I play on the bottom and try to get as small as I possibly can. So for me, making sure that my knees are quick and I can keep the knee in the game and keep a little bit of space. Mm-hmm. Frames across my face are super important to me. Katie takes those away, though. She just whips those suckers right up above my head.
I do it to everyone.
I got knees in my armpit before I know it. Every time I fall for it. every fucking
it's
time.
It's not that you fall for it. I just keep having to do it. I don't have a choice.
Because I give it to you.
I give you all the openings
as far as... That's not what I meant. I did not mean I'm like, here, take this.
No, I know.
I am making the mistake to allow you to capitalize every time, and I don't know what the mistake is.
I got you. So, I'll help you out.
Yeah.
I'll help you out. I'm pretty sure I owe
continue
you
murdering me.
Private lesson.
It's my favorite. So being a small person and being super good with your frames, but I like a solid guard game. Mm-hmm. I don't care who it is. I will play guard, even if somebody yells at me and says it's a dumb idea because I'm small. I have more success staying on the bottom sometimes.
I think you're hard, like, what you said with keeping your knees in, like, it's so hard to pass your guard because you always just slide your knee in, like, it's honestly, I'm like, she's so freaking squirrely.
It's getting hard to
It's so hard.
I like
so,
it.
Yeah, it's, I'm not, I can't give you advice. I'm tall. I'm not short.
Yeah, Mallory is tall.
Katie can totally weigh in on this.
I'll weigh in, though. Yeah. I mean, Kylie and I have, like, basically the same build. Mm-hmm. I think we're the same height, pretty much. Anyway, so for me, yeah, I like to take people down because I can get underneath their base. So I like to come up with ways to take people down where I get under their base. I also like to counter people and make them do things so that, like, I'm countering off of a movement that they made so that they're already using their own energy so that I don't have to use extra energy, because it's hard for me to move people around sometimes. When I get into really good positions, I stay there. So if I get to mount, I will do everything I possibly can to stay in mount. If that means that I ride around in circles going, like, neon belly one side the other and then going north-south and doing that, I'll just, like, keep spinning from side to side until I get back into that mount position, because it's so important to me because it's where I'm going to finish people. So I love the mount position for that. So that's kind of, like, my thing. I actually think what would be cool, though, Mallory, is, like, as a taller person doing jiu-jitsu, though, what do you think about your jiu-jitsu as a taller person in your experience so far? And I know Mm-hmm. I know it hasn't been long, but yeah. I still know that you have to know the difference.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, especially when I'm going against shorter people, like right. a leg mm-hmm. game is easy. Like, you know, going for triangles and stuff, even though that's not the game that I play, really, mm-hmm. I probably should do more of it because, I mean, I think that that's definitely an advantage. I also think that being tall, like, I feel like I'm pretty good at retaining my guard because yeah. I just, like, I don't know. Yeah. My legs are long enough. I always can, not always, I can usually hook their leg even if you're trying to go for, like, a long step or trying to pass. Like, I can get my leg on their foot or mm-hmm. something and get mm-hmm. them into my half guard or whatever. So, I mean, I feel like that's the biggest bonus, I think, for me, at least.
Yeah.
I feel like I can retain my guard pretty well
yeah.
having longer legs.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. Yeah, your guard is hard to pass. Very Both good. Your guards are hard to pass. Mm-hmm. Killing me.
Yeah, the short legs make it hard for to pass her and the long legs for me. So, I mean, it's all good.
I need Maria to come back yeah. with her shorter legs yeah. so that I can.
Oh, yeah, seriously. So the next question is main lesson learned for each belt level. I want to start with Mallory.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, what was your lesson, do you think, from being on your on a white belt?
From white belt? I guess one of the biggest things, I guess, is I learned what I'm capable of.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, that is a big thing. I'm like, holy shit, you're capable of a lot, and don't stop. I guess.
Don't stop, that, won't stop.
Don't stop, won't stop. That's really the biggest thing that I took away from my white belt is I am capable of so much and it's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to, like, keep showing myself what else I'm capable of. So.
Love it.
What about you guys? You got all these belts.
Jen's next.
I got a couple. I think for white it was definitely pretty much the same thing. Like, all the sense of, like, empowerment, like, mm-hmm. oh shit, I can do this kind of stuff. So that was white belt. Blue belt, I learned patience, I think. Okay, I'm learning. Let's back that up. I'm not a patient person at all. So I started to learn patience at blue belt and started to kind of learn a little bit. It's weird. None of this is about jiu-jitsu. It's what you learn about yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I just learned a little bit of grace goes a long way, and I worked really hard on not giving people passes in life, but stopping and evaluating a situation as a whole instead of a moment. And then purple belt, I'm still kind of figuring that out. I feel like it's definitely too soon to tell. I mean, it's been a month, so it's like,
oh my gosh, only been a month.
Only a month. Yeah.
Wait. It's only been
like,
a month.
Well,
like
it's been almost two months because it was yeah. December.
But like that's 2nd. A brand new belt.
Oh my gosh!
We'll
it feels like
I
it was
Costa
a year
Rica.
Ago. It was though because it was in 2022.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha, ha 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 ha. Jokes. I'll tell that one to Finny.
He's gonna love the dad jokes.
He'll love the dad jokes. I'll tell it to David, and then David can tell the dog.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Yes.
This
How about you?
Man, you know. There's two different ways to look at it, right? There's the jiu-jitsu way to look at it, and then philosophically, how each belt level is for you. When I first read this, I thought about actually main lesson in terms of jiu-jitsu, so that's what
mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
So, as a white belt, the first thing that I was learning really was how to stay safe, how to have defense, how to keep my guard, and, like, basic sweeping, really basic submissions, like, I mainly had to make sure that I could stay super compact and survive. It's like the survival belt. And then at blue belt, it's where you get an ego for a little while and then you almost want to quit and because then your ego gets smashed because you're like white belts are starting to pass your guard and eventually you just figure out that like it just takes hard work to do jiu-jitsu. So it's kind of like a hard work belt. I think. And then purple belt was really getting into the technical pieces of jiu-jitsu. What is my technical jiu-jitsu? What is my game? Like, I would call it the game belt.
Mm-hmm.
What was my game? And then brown belt was my execution belt. How am I going to execute all these different things that I have? And now my black belt feels like I'm in perfection mode, and perfection never will end. So I'm really excited about all those things. So it's like, I guess it'd be survival, then
survival, drop the ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like survival, like ego death, and then
technical,
technical execution, and then perfection.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
That's good.
Those are pretty good, like, pyramid of things, I think, for what I believe is what each belt level is.
Nice.
So I think that that's a really cool, it's a really cool question. When I first read it, I really reflected on that question probably the most out of all of these. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of like my reflection on all of it, which was really exciting.
That's a good
one. So yeah, I really am touched by these questions, Kylie. They're really thoughtful. I'm really glad you're listening to what we're doing. I see you out there all the time. I'm so glad you're doing jiu-jitsu. Thanks so much for being a really great listener and a really good friend. I love you.
Yay, Kylie.
So next one is Sam. Sam is she's actually going to be on Battle Grappling.
Sweet. Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'm super excited about that. And
what division is she competing in?
I believe it's a blue belt.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, so Sam will be in the blue belt division. So first question, I think this one is a really great one to talk about. I'd love if you'd talk about weight cutting. What do you recommend / not recommend?
This is a great question.
I think Jen should start.
Yeah. This is huge. Oh, recommend / not. I highly recommend you at least start with a nutritionist. I think the charts and the things that you can get online and the information that's out there, I thought it was accurate, and it just did not work with the amount of calories I was burning each day, and I did not realize how little I was eating. So definitely spend the money, get the meal plan, work with somebody who's a sports nutritionist who understands what they're doing.
It's an investment.
100%.
On your life. Everything will change.
Yep.
And then don't starve yourself. Don't undereat to cut weight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the worst idea. You're just better off staying in the same weight class, in my opinion.
Do it in a healthy way. That's everything that you just said.
Yeah. Ditto. Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's
absolutely.
Really like it's interesting because you can use the words cut and lose kind of interchangeably. So like if you need to literally, if you are cutting weight, that's always like the I'm not eating anything and like getting dehydrated and stuff like that, right?
Bad idea.
So when I talk about cutting weight, for me, and I use those words, I mean it as like I have 4 weeks for a competition and I weigh 5 pounds more than I normally do because I like to eat. So for the next 4 weeks, I need to follow the nutrition plan I have for my nutritionist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to get me there. And it's full of calories and all the things that I need, but it gets me to where I want to go. So, I use Anna Carolina. She was fantastic. She's part of Heather Wood's programs and she does a really fantastic job with nutrition for me. Like I had problems meeting with nutritionists before who I didn't feel like they listened. Mm-hmm. And so she listened really well and helped me so much. So I recommend working with a trained professional on it and not on like the internet, random article on the internet. Don't do it.
Right. You can think that you're doing all of the right things and then one talk with a nutritionist and you're like, oh shit, I was doing everything wrong.
Yeah. Because
you need to do what's right for you specifically, not what somebody is writing for like a generic. You know,
also a basic of like weight management, I would say, put like pre-competition is watching salt intake. Mm-hmm. That can help you with not having like that salt bloat of like the water retention. That's the thing that I have to deal with. It's like women have periods, so there's that. Mm-hmm. So I always have to watch salt around that because God knows it. Like I can't control how that's gonna work.
Right.
So I always do that as well. Is there any other things that we can think of for this one?
I think the water intake is really important, making sure that you're drinking enough water itself, and knowing that those last couple days before your competition, you will lose some water weight by cutting that back, but don't stop drinking water. Like, keep it high.
Definitely. Like, I never water, like, dehydrate myself.
Right.
Like, I will say, though, to be honest, like, I have had to, like, actually get rid of water weight before. Mm-hmm. So, at Nogi Worlds, I had to. Mm-hmm. So, I spent an hour or two or whatever it was running and then doing jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't more than, like, my everyday workout. Right. Like, it was just as much work. And, yeah, I had to sweat out a couple pounds, and it really ended up being no big deal. The thing was, though, I was fully hydrated and fully fed all the way up until the day of, and I just happened to wake up heavy. I sweat out a tiny bit in the bathtub. I did go for a run and get the weight off, mm-hmm. And I weighed in, and that was fine, and it wasn't a big deal, but that is not something I like to do, and mm-hmm. it is not something that I prefer to do. But sometimes we wake up, and we're like, oh, shouldn't have had that salt. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's definitely different for women than yes, it is for men.
It is.
So.
Yeah, I agree. So be cognizant of how your body works throughout, like, your cycle and stuff like that. And then that will also inform, like, how easy or difficult a weight management is going to be. So do you need to manage your weight 12 weeks ahead? Do you need right. to manage your weight 4 weeks ahead? Where are you at? So, like, just, like, pay attention to that. And then the next question is, what is 1 week before competition? And the next question is, and what does 1 week before competition look like? Well, dread, panic.
I think it varies for all of us.
There's like, it's like the five
Let's
stages.
Do Mallory.
There's
Mallory.
Like, you know how there's like five stages of grief? There's like mm-hmm. five stages of like the week before competition. I don't know what they are, like in what order, but it goes between like anxiety, excitement, like getting in the mindset,
severe anger from not eating the things I want to eat.
Yes,
anger, and then also a little bit of anger because you can't train as hard as you want to.
Mm-hmm. Sadness, like, from my sadness, not having the sugar right. I want,
right? Like sad because you're not doing like crazy rounds like you want to be, and then excited because you get to do it, you know,
yeah,
a few days
on the big so stage.
Yeah, it's like kind of all over the place. Honestly, for me anyways, like
my comp week is way different. I get annoyed that I have to pack and go. I get kind of excited because I'm going, not the competition part, but the trip part. And then I get there and I'm super hyped because I am a weenie and I only do one big competition, but I get to see all my friends. So I go say hi to everybody and hang out and then watch everybody else compete. And then I'm always last. So
that's it. Won't be that way forever.
I know.
It's just like that now.
We have to go early. Yeah. So that's what it is. Yeah, no big deal. And then I compete and then I'm done. And I go eat.
That's funny. Like, 1 week out before competition, I'm, like, weighing myself every day. Like, I already do that.
I do that anyway.
Pretty much anyway, because I have a small obsession with how much I weigh. But, I mean, I compete pretty frequently, so right. I don't like to get too far. But the week before the competition, I'm just hanging out. I do jiu-jitsu probably on the Monday or Tuesday beforehand, because usually my comp's on like a Saturday, and I've stopped hard rounds by then, or because I don't want to get injured. And then sometimes if I'm feeling like I need to get some energy out, I'll do a little drilling, or go for a walk or do something more like relaxing, yoga, stretching. And I'll think about the match and I'll tell myself how excited I am for it. So instead of being like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous, I'm scared, blah, 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 blah. Like, the same, it's called arousal, right? Mm-hmm. So you're getting that same thing from excitement and nervousness. So you may as well just be excited about it and say mm-hmm. to yourself, oh, I'm super excited about this. It's mm-hmm. the same exact thing. So you want to manage that through enjoying that instead of creating an anxious loop. So I think mm-hmm. that's really important. 1 week out is reminding yourself of that thing, and it'll really bring down the anxiety a lot. Making sure you go get your car gassed up, making sure you have all your grocery shopping done. Mm-hmm. I'm a person that takes care of like all the small tasks that I should have mm-hmm. like not put off. And I do that before my competition so that I don't think of any of the things that I should have been doing. Mm-hmm. It helps clear my head. It makes me feel good. It's like I've organized my life. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's this thing about, like, I might go die. So, like,
gotta have the house.
I gotta have the house clean so that when I get home, I'm comfortable. Because I know after a competition, I don't know how I'm gonna feel. So that week before, I'm preparing also for what's next and what's after, because that is also just as important as going to the competition. You need to know how you're gonna act after. What are you gonna eat after? What are you gonna do? For me, I just do the same fucking thing I do every fucking day. Eat the same thing I always eat, because I have very little variety for the most part. I feel like recently David and I have been venturing into other things and eating different things, so that's been good. But there have been periods of time where I was competing a lot and there was no change in what I was eating. And I was just like, this is just what it is. This is what we're doing. So that's kind of what that's all about. So any other things that we can think of before a competition?
I'm also, like, crazy about packing. Like, I will have everything that I'm going to wear, because I always do gi and no gi. So I lay out all of my gi, like sports bras, you know, spats, everything, belt. And then I have my whole no-gi outfit, like mouth guard, like you have your checklist, right?
Yeah.
I have everything laid out so I can see it. And then I make sure I don't, like, wear any of it. I don't do it, like, anything with it all week. Like, it's ready. It's just ready to be worn, specifically a battle uniform.
Also, 1 week ahead of time, usually you have weight check and division check. So check to see if you're the only competitor in your division. If you're going to, like, a big competition, check all of those kinds of details and see if people are going to be there. Because that's going to be really important as well. Cool. I think that we got Sam's questions. Thank you, Sam, for listening to us. I'm so excited that we have you as a listener. And really good luck at Battle Grappling. We'll see you there. That's going to be super fun. So, next one. I love this question. Jesse asked us a question. So, Jesse Garcia here at the gym, he's white belt.
PJ!
He's been working really hard on his jiu-jitsu. I have been really impressed with, like, his attitude and everything, and really figuring out how to, like, be a good jiu-jitsu player and be a good partner. So I'm really excited about that. And so that's why I especially love this question. What should white belts focus on and not focus on? And I'm going to start with that one.
Please do.
So white belts should focus on literally listening to everything their professor says and doing that thing. Don't do a different thing. Don't do the thing that your white belt friend is saying that you should do, because that is not the thing you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to do the thing your professor says. So that's one thing.
Love it.
So I feel like what you really need to focus on is staying safe in positions. You need to focus on being able to survive. So you need to have really good escapes from mount. You need to have a good escape from side control. You need to have a good escape from north-south. I think those are all really important. You also need to have a very good guard retention. And I also think that playing a close guard situation is really, really important. So you need to know just, like, really basics of top bottom position. So those are the things that you should focus on. And if you're talking about, like, a big overarching, like, how should I focus on jiu-jitsu in general? So you should find moves and things that you like for you. So if you have, like, moves that you find are really the ones that you're hitting and you're, like, really into that, then you should focus on that technique and focus on how do you finish that technique. I also think you should focus on understanding where your energy is in relation to other people. You also need to focus on how you are in, like, terms of how big you are and how you relate strength-wise to your training partners, all that kind of stuff. I feel like I want to word vomit all the things that white belts should focus on, which is too many things, basically. But really, like, what it comes down to is, like, come in, be consistent, listen to your professors, ask questions, ask us how you can get better at jiu-jitsu, and really be communicative with your training partners and making sure you're not hurting other people, making sure you understand your own energy. Because the thing is we really want you to be successful. And if we find that the white belt gets in their own way.
Oh, God.
The white belt gets in their own way, but we love them. So, Jen, what do you think that white belts should focus on and not focus on?
I think the main thing that they need to focus on is stop coaching each other on the mat. You're doing it wrong. And that's okay, because you should be doing it wrong. Yeah. I'm still learning every single day basic movement. You'll never stop learning that. But quit telling each other how to do it and how they're doing it wrong. So focus on yourself. The other thing, I definitely think body energy and being able to read how your partner is reacting to what you're giving them is pretty key in helping you understand how to calm your game down and how to really hone everything in that you're trying to manage. You know, I know Jesse himself is working on some pretty fancy moves. Those will come in time. But if you're losing position every single time to get to that, it's not worth it right now. You got to get the basics.
Right. And I think there's a time and place to play, right?
Absolutely.
And that's cool. But when you're also going to compete and do stuff, because yes. I think PJ's going to.
That's what he was talking about.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to do that, focus on the things that you would execute then. So like there's always play time in jiu-jitsu though, right? Like
always.
Try that funky stuff. That's cool. Like, I was going to play that funky music, white boy. But really, if you're doing a competition, you should really try to hone in on those things that are going to win you that competition.
Yes.
And I also think that if you do see something on YouTube that you think is cool, you should probably, like, ask your professor if it makes sense. Please.
Absolutely.
Because your professor can help you with, like, if that video makes sense or not. Like, I'm all for you going out and looking at your own, like, different jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
You should. Mm-hmm. I am not the only source of jiu-jitsu around here. So go on YouTube, go figure it out, whatever. But come and bring it in too and be like, hey, does this make sense?
Yes.
Do you think this makes sense? And, like, we could try it. So, Mallory.
I think you guys hit it. I don't need to add anything.
Mallory's not far enough from being a white belt to feel comfortable about it.
No, you guys just covered it all.
Perfect. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for putting in your question. Super appreciate
yes.
you. Thank you so awesome. Much for being a good student, coming in and being consistent. Focusing on being consistent is, like, really important. So, awesome job. Mallory, I'm going to have you start this next one. So my friend Travis, mm-hmm. this is his question. He says, which do you prefer playing, guard or passing? Or do you like playing a mix of both? Has it changed over the years?
Well, over the 2 years that I have been training jiu-jitsu, I like to play from my guard. That's usually what I go for. I usually pull my guard. I mean, I don't hate playing, you know, passing the guard. I just feel stronger pulling guard. So that's me.
I like it.
Okay. Jen.
Yeah. I do a little bit of both. It depends on the size of the person. I much prefer the top game, but I tend to gravitate there towards people my own size more so, I guess. But I have a better guard than I have top game. So I don't know. I think you have to be both.
So, I definitely have had my opinion one way and then the other throughout the years. It's been a long time of me doing jiu-jitsu, I suppose. So, when I was a white belt, I was so large, actually, that I couldn't bring my knees to my chest. Mm. I couldn't move efficiently on my back. So, I always passed. So, I passed all the way up through, like, blue belt. Like, I would never play guard, and then I started mm-hmm. to decide to compete, and then at purple belt I had to learn how to play guard.
Oh wow.
I'm not kidding. I just, like, wow. would I refuse to do it. So don't be like me and refuse. So then I played guard for a while, and I still didn't love it, but I had to play a lot more of it, and I've been forcing myself to play more guard. I feel like right now I'm having a lot of fun playing guard for no gi, more so than the gi. I really have been enjoying that. But I'm a passer through and through. Like, you just can't. I just love to pass. That's all I want to do is just pass and smash. There's nothing I care about.
It's the worst. No. It's the worst earlier. To get passed and smashed by Katie,
it's
but
the murder mouth.
She's a queen.
The
I know. It's just because I like you, though.
Yeah.
That's why I have to do it. I don't have a choice.
We
love
need
to
it,
hate
then.
It.
Yeah. So one thing I did want to say, Travis has a cool cannabis operation.
Hey.
Capricorn. And what I thought was really cool is they won the 2022 Growers Cup for first place indoor with their Candy Rain strain.
That's awesome.
So I just want to shout
Kudos,
that out.
Kudos, Travis.
Yeah. Go, Travis.
And what was the, what's it called?
Candy Rain.
Oh, no, the company.
Capricorn.
Capricorn. Okay.
Yes, with two Ks.
Kudos, Capricorn.
Kudos, Capricorn.
No, guys.
And Travis.
Yeah, they did a great job. So I thought that that was really cool. I wanted to shout that out.
That's awesome.
Our next one, I think, is so relevant to every person that's ever done jujitsu. Megan is asking us a question. She came in and has done jujitsu with us a little bit before. And Christine comes in and does jujitsu with us.
Oh,
her daughter. So
cool.
It's pretty cool. So here is the question from Megan. How do you find pants to fit your body so you don't show your goodies during practice? Does anyone else have this problem?
Does anyone not?
I feel like I had that problem today. So I'm just going to start because I feel like part of it is finding a spat. Mm-hmm. So a pair of bottoms that stays on properly with a good waistband that has a really good drawstring. That is going to be paramount because the spandex and the waistband helps to keep things up. And then that, the drawstring piece, that piece is what helps it from slipping down. So I feel like my Guy Dama ones, I really, really like personally. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite ones. Those are the ones that I wear. That really helps keep everything inside. And then also I will like tuck my rash guard in to it as well if I'm feeling like I want some extra coverage. And honestly, it's like compression, so it's pretty tight and it's a little uncomfortable in the beginning, but finding a pair that has a really long torso is something that I like. So mm-hmm. like my spats go like past my belly button basically. Yep. Because yep. I'm really uncomfortable with my shirt like coming up or anything like that. So that's for me, that's what I like. Mm-hmm. Mallory, what about you?
I like the high waist band. So same thing. It's goes up past my belly button. Yeah. And I actually pull my rash guard down so that there's no sliding down.
Raven
yeah.
brand rash guards has a silicone bottom.
Yes,
around
the
it.
One that I'm wearing right now does.
Does it?
Yeah, and I love it. It stays down so well.
Yes.
I don't remember where I got this.
Yeah, I just know that Raven brand does it for sure.
It does it. Yeah, this was awesome.
And you can find it, I'm sure, in other brands. So there's it's this really cool adhesive at the bottom.
Yep.
What about you, Jen?
Raven rides up. I like a real good pair of spats. I like Under Armour's and Lululemon's for training, especially with the no-gi. And I do pull the rash guard down over it. But then the gi pants go over the rash guard and then get tied on. So, lots of layers.
Yeah.
Lots of layers.
Also, I always like check to make sure that my spats aren't see-through.
Oh.
Check and make sure your spats aren't see-through. Sometimes I'll be like training and then I'll look over and be like, oh my, I can see everything.
Yes.
So, I know my Guy Dama ones are super cool because they have that double layering over the behind.
Yes.
And so I know that I don't care what color panties I'm wearing. It doesn't matter because no one can tell.
Yes.
So those are our suggestions for different ways to find pants. Definitely it's something I'd call an investment. They're generally more expensive, but they last a really long time. So all the Guy Dama ones I've ever bought have lasted me like forever. So I'm super into that. So thank you, Megan. Thank you for listening, and thank you for asking an extremely important question about how do we fit stuff onto us? Because it's like, seriously.
It's an issue.
It's an issue.
For everybody.
For everybody. Okay, next one here. These are various ones from Mallory that she's been amassing. So,
from my patients.
From, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, cute.
So, first one, Mallory. Do you ever get scared when you compete?
I did at first. Now I just get like this. I just get really hyped up. And I just get that kind of a rush, you know, like the adrenaline rush. Like, I'm not scared anymore. I'm just, like, amped. So, yeah, do you guys get scared when you compete?
No. Absolutely.
Yeah. Dude, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
I'm fucking terrified. But then I get out there and I have a lot of fun. Like, I have this terrified feeling, but I turn it into, like I said, like, oh, my gosh, I'm super excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be here. And then what happens is I get to be, like, I'm so excited that this is like my favorite place to be. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I get really smiley and then I'm having a really good time. Mm-hmm. So, have you ever wanted to quit?
I have not had a moment where I've wanted to quit. No, to this point.
I haven't either.
Well, buckle up, children. Buckle up, yeah. Someday you're going to get in your car and you're just going to curse jujitsu and tell that bitch to just take a flying leap into the ocean.
Yeah.
Some days I do that.
Okay.
But I always come back. Yeah. I always come back to her.
She's waiting in your car.
She's waiting for me. Bitch you can't get rid of.
Bitch you can't get rid of. She keeps coming back. But no, I love jujitsu. I do think about someday I will not necessarily be able to do jujitsu how I want.
Right.
That'll be hard, but yeah, I'm not going to think about that today. What makes jujitsu different than other martial arts, Jen?
Ooh. Well, first of all, it's real because you actually practice it every single day in a live setting.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, it's mostly the ground game and grappling. It's different from judo because you progress through further past the sub. Different from wrestling because you progress past the pin. I don't know what I just said about judo. You should take that out.
Okay.
And you lost my train of thought. Carry
okay.
on.
Okay. So what makes jujitsu different than other martial arts? Basically, I'm not punching people. And I'm not kicking people, even though it definitely happens.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, though, is pretty much fair game past that. It's like wrestling with submissions. So in judo, you're just looking for the ippon. So you're looking for the throw to get the person basically onto their back. That's what you're looking for. Wrestling, you're looking for the pin. Other martial arts are like based in just like striking and kicking. And so since we don't have that, that doesn't exist. So it's like a grappling art is kind of how I think of it with, submissions. So that's what I think makes it different than other ones. What do you like the most about it? Jen, what do you like the most about jiu-jitsu?
Oh gosh. The most thing I like about jiu-jitsu is being able to beat the shit out of somebody and then give them a massive hug afterwards because everybody thinks it's great and we have a good time.
I love that part too.
Me too.
Is there anything else that we like?
I love how like just badass it makes me feel, you know?
Dude, the feeling I get. Dude, our ragdoll Henry today.
You need to pull the video.
I sent him so many times. I highlight reeled him today.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see
it. But the thing is, that kid is smiling the whole
time. He's so fun to roll with.
He loves it.
Yeah.
He's a great person to roll with because he's having a great time. He's not going to hurt me and he tries his best.
I feel like I can like break his tiny little torso in half with my thick thighs. Like I feel like I just squeeze him so hard, but he's so strong.
He's just a little guy.
He's
but he's like not. He's like strong, huge, but like, he's like
he's thin.
He's gotta bulk up. He's gotta be eating enough calories, Henry.
Yeah.
Henry.
I'm literally like my...
Henry's a kid. Yeah. He'll get it.
Yeah, he is.
But he's really fun to roll with, so.
He is.
Thanks, Henry.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you. I love this one. Do you think it's something I/my kid/my friend/my grandkid, et cetera, could do? Yes.
Everybody.
Everybody should do jujitsu. What is it? Everybody should try jujitsu, but jujitsu is not for everyone.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true, but everyone should try jujitsu. Because you don't know if it's going to be your sport.
It's true.
I didn't know it was going to be my sport.
I didn't either.
Me neither.
I didn't start until I was 21.
I was
30.
41.
Yeah. Look at that. What a spectrum.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is crazy.
I'm in love with that. Does everyone at your gym do these competitions?
I love that question a lot.
These competitions.
They always know when I'm training for one. So I work in like a one-on-one setting where they're sitting in a chair and I'm working with them, whatever. And so we just talk because we have this bio board at work where, you know, fun facts and whatever. And there's a picture of me doing jujitsu. And then that's like a part of my info. So people are always like, oh, what is this? What is this jujitsu that you do? And like talking to these cute little old people sometimes, let me tell you, it's so freaking cute. But anyways, so they get really excited when they hear about my tournaments coming up. And then when they come in the next week, they're like, how did it go?
Oh my gosh.
And they're
so cute.
They're just like little cheerleaders and I love it. So
I love that.
It's adorable. They're the best. What was the question?
Does everyone at your gym do these competitions?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I just went on such a tangent about how cute my patients are.
They are.
What percentage, though, do you think of the people in our gym do the competition?
Like 20.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah. But I'm hoping to get that up more to like 30.
Yeah.
I'd like, so what we're looking to do is start sponsorships at our gym. So we're going to be looking for some sponsors to help us with our funds. So we're going to do advertising basically.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to cut that.
Cool.
So I like this one. Mallory's sister said, asked a question after you sent the videos, apparently. Yeah. Can you actually hear everything your coach is yelling at you?
That's because when I sent her videos from the last competition where it was me and you, and I mean, BJ standing next to you,
yeah,
and you're yelling, you know, everything at me. Yes, so quiet in Italian. But yeah, she was like, do you know every, like, can you hear her? Like, what is she saying? Do you know what she's talking about? And, I mean, I don't know how it is for you guys, but I'm able to just, like, zone in on, like, whoever's coaching me. Like, I was able to zone in on Jen, like, really well last competition. Like, when David's coached me, even though he's much quieter and more soft-spoken than Jen, shockingly. No. Like, I'm able to just kind of tune everything out. So, I mean, that's me anyways. And that's, I think, cool. That's a lot of, too, like, my background in softball. Like, when I'm at the plate, like, I hear nothing. I'm just, like, in the zone. So that's how I feel like I am in jiu-jitsu, too.
What about you, Jen?
That's magical. For me, I have a hard time hearing. And I think it's because the venue is so big.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It's so far away.
There's no coach's chair.
No, you can't.
At IBJJF tournament.
It's terrible. And you can't hear anything. So yeah, that's an issue. But I don't know if I would hear David anyway, just because he's softer. Mm-hmm. But I don't have Mallory's gift of like honing in. I'm like ping pong all over the place. I can hear you, Katie. I can usually hear you.
I'm pretty loud.
Yeah.
I coached Bet one time from across the venue for Nogi World, so that was good. Yeah.
Katie's got volume.
I've got volume.
Yeah.
I think I got the loudest cheer voice award.
Nice.
So, you know.
Wow.
Talent.
I'm talented. I feel like I can't hear and I can hear. It just really depends on the venue, depends on the coach, depends on who's there. But honestly, because I'm normally competing without having a coach or anything like that, I just don't pay attention as much. But it's really interesting. I can hear my my friend Professor Tyler Pasqua in Eugene. I can hear him super well. I can hear Quinn pretty well too.
Oh.
David is a little bit harder to hear, but I've been able to hear him in the last competitions because I was like, hey, I need you to up the volume or just say like X things. So if I know that I'm looking for a specific word, then it really helps me be like, oh, that person's talking to me. Okay. I know that word.
Like a safe word.
Yeah. Like a safe word.
Okay. Exactly.
Exactly.
What's your safe word?
I don't have one.
Oh. Well, for
she's
dangerous.
I like to live life on the edge.
Living life on the edge. You know how I am.
She owns a jiu-jitsu gym.
I do. I do. So the last question for our podcast is from your 7-year-old niece, Harper.
Oh, she's the best.
She's the best, and she wants to know what's your favorite move.
It changes, but currently, I am enjoying playing the worm guard. And she will probably think that that's funny, that there's something called a worm guard.
And you can get into the wormhole.
In the wormhole, yep.
And reverse De La Worm.
Yeah.
Reverse De La Worm, that's right.
So many worm things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I love the worm
guard. The ringworm. There's the ringworm.
Yes, that's right, yep. Next time I'm home, we'll slap a gi on her and I'll show her what it is.
Yes. And I get home, I'm just going to slap a gi on her and we're just going to see how that goes.
Yep. She's a little badass. She's a hockey player, softball player, like dance extraordinaire.
Nice.
She does it all. So
that's amazing.
What kind of dance?
Love her. All of it.
All of it.
All of it. She like made her competition teams.
Yay!
Like,
oh, I want to see videos.
She's
awesome.
She's awesome. And she's so good at everything too.
Love
it's
it.
Like, it's going to be annoying for other people.
That's what you want.
She's so good.
That is what you want.
Oh, she would be awesome at jiu-jitsu, but she's got way too much other stuff going on. So anyways, she'll just practice with Aunt Mail Mail when I'm home.
I love it. Jim, what's your favorite move right now?
Currently I am liking, like a triangle from the bottom, like a backwards triangle.
Mm-hmm.
That's been working sort of well. And, that's about it.
That's all you got?
That's all I got right now. I like, arm triangle to, arm in Ezekiel. That's a fun one.
It's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Fan of the toe hold. You had me elaborate.
Yeah.
And the knee bar.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sad. I've been avoiding everybody's legs. I miss them.
Oh, because you can't right now.
I can't right now. Yeah. I haven't been on anybody's legs. Yeah, my favorite move, I fucking love to heal people, okay? Ooh, like, no heel is safe. I don't care who you are, what horse you rode in on, and who your mama is. I'm going to heel hook you.
Mm-hmm.
And even you're going to like it. Even the white belts. I'm just going to go to kids' class and be like, what's up? How are those heels feeling? How are those heels doing, y'all?
Wrecking kids.
Maybe that's why it makes so much sense that I adopted Finley, who keeps nipping at my heels.
Yes.
Mr. Finn. Mr. Wiggles. If you want to see my adorable dog.
Oh, yeah.
Follow him has on Instagram.
Oh, my gosh. He has a Finstagram.
Yes.
So cute.
And then we're making content that'll be on Only Fins. You think I'm kidding?
We're gonna make so much money off this Only Fins.
I know, okay. Only Fins. Yeah,
I am
copywriting that right now. Yeah. Only Fins. It'll be Fins across the world. We'll just be using it. It'll be literally Only Fins. That'd be so clever, right?
I love it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so proud of myself for that.
It's beautiful.
But yeah, so my favorite move is the pass and smash.
Hey.
The Katie special.
Katie special. Just a cross knee pass right up the middle. I'm going to smash your face and then I'm going to get to mount. We're going to have a good time.
Yep.
It's a great time.
Good stuff.
It's great.
It's a great time.
It's great.
She serves it on a platter.
Yeah. Silver platter.
So I want to recommend to our listeners, because I know that we've got a lot of questions and some of them we didn't get to on this podcast. But go back and listen to all the other pods from season one, because a lot of those podcasts answer some of the questions that we didn't get to in this pod. And there's also just really awesome content. So 10 out of 10, recommend, go back, listen to season one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then keep listening to season two, because this is fun for us and we love you guys.
And it's super fun. Yeah. Share it. If you like, give us feedback. jujitsuishard@gmail.com is where we can be found via email if you have like something longer that you'd like to send us. But you can DM us, message us, I don't know, send a carrier pigeon, whatever it is that you do.
Come train and talk to us.
That's cool too. Mallory, actually, your episode is the most listened to episode. It's like yours and then like Jen's or something like that.
I love that.
So those two are really, really popular. So metaphysical high five. They're pretending to high five, but it like never happened. It never materialized.
Because the microphone's right there.
The microphone is in the way. Also, just so everybody knows, we have to sit the same exact way every single time that we do our podcast, because otherwise it feels awkward.
It's true.
It's just the way it has to be. So
seats in the car.
We definitely love every single one of our listeners. We're super happy that you've taken time to input your questions, listen to us. It means the world to us. So we'll see you. Get out there on the mats, be consistent, and don't give up, y'all.
Let's
see you later.
Bye.
Bye.